Are tuning in for the third episode of Talking Shit with Denon and Kyrie. This is Denon.
This is Kyrie. What's going
Welcome.
On, people? Welcome. What's going on,
This
Denon?
Is a beautiful day. We have us a little intro music. What do you think about it?
Oh, I love it. It's so us. You
it
ever seen the
is.
Like that? Yeah, that's us.
We want to pull that old-ass mystical up.
Before we start, I want to give a disclaimer for our new
What's
listeners.
A disclaimer?
We want to thank you. We want to thank you all for tuning in. But this show here is not for children. You will hear a whole lot of shit, damn motherfuckers, and our absolute favorite cuss word on the planet, bitch. You will hear it throughout. You will hear it throughout this show. So if you are easily offended by curse words, this is not the show for you. And if you don't like cursing, this is not the show for you. Because we
If you do not have a strong stomach, and if you're sensitive, this is not the show for you.
Okay, there, that's that. So we got that out the way.
Like, something happened for you this week.
You say what?
From Chicago to LA.
Say it again, Denon. Okay, my co-host seems to be having some technical difficulties.
No,
I'm
your,
not sure what's going on.
Your co-host is not having any trouble. That's that damn iPhone. I keep telling y'all motherfuckers that Chinese labor is going to bite y'all asses in the butt. Get you an Android, Samsung all day. Your co-host is not having any trouble.
Bitch, I couldn't hear you. You was having something. I heard everything
it's
you rambling
because you have
and
an iPhone. I have a Samsung Galaxy S8, brand new, out the box, not refurbished, no Chinese slave labor, built my telephone. It's your problem, not mine.
No, hell no, I ain't no Chinese slave labor, some goddamn albinoid motherfuckers that's going to make your shit blow the fuck up. That's his major phone.
Oh, here we go with that. One mistake, we kill a couple of people, we burn up a couple of ears. And we can't never live that shit down. Get over it. Let's not think about the small stuff. Move around, people. Move around on that.
Whatever. What the hell ever. So, this week, let's do This Week in 60 Seconds. You ready?
Why not? Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Let's go. Okay, first up, Donald Trump fires James Comey, how do you say this man's name? Excuse me. He fired the FBI director, but the ha-ha is he didn't even tell him he was fired. That's what's funny. Denon?
See, white folks get over on white folks, just like, but I ain't going to get into that. So Betsy DeVos somebody decided to invite her out to Bethune-Cookman College for their graduation. Why anybody thought to invite this woman who knows nothing about education to a historically black college besides me, but she was booed. And her speech was drowned out. Wonderful video online. Find it.
Well, what does she know about education? Okay, never mind. And so TV1 is going to air a two-hour special come May 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called The State of Black America with the host Roland Martin. I'm not thrilled with the host, but I will tune into the show because I am interested in the state of Black America.
This week, we met a lot of resistance. And the sad thing about the resistance, the interesting thing, I won't call it sad, the interesting thing about the resistance we met this week was the dichotomy of violence versus love. So we wanted to do this show about love because we spend so much time talking about it that we thought it important to bring everybody else in on the conversation and to get a varying view of the conversation of different people's opinions, right? But what we found was there were a lot of folks who did not feel comfortable having open dialogue about love. So we sent out these requests to selected people, and we asked them if they would participate in a project where we were asking three questions about love. They could pick one of the questions, answer it, send it back to us in a video. The most amazing thing happened, and that was we got so many people interested in being a part of the project.
Yes.
However, once people actually sat with the questions, we got a lot of pushback. We heard they were too hard. People were literally scared of who would see the video. Folks thought that some people just bowed out, did not return emails, did not say anything else to us about it after they spoke on it, you know, and some people weaseled out of doing the video altogether. However, I got one too, but I didn't talk about it. But we made this special note of paying attention to the posts that these particular people make. And not just them, but our friends in general. So we see that people will post a fight. They will post passive-aggressive memes about other people. They will talk shit about other people, politics, religion, love even. But when it came to being open and vulnerable and talking about love, and the three questions were very simple, at least when stated, right? So one of them is, what was love? What is love to me? The second one is, what expectations or conditions come with my love? And the third question was, have you ever, if it's possible for you, have you ever loved someone more than you loved yourself? Tell us about that time. We probably got a total of, let's say, 17 who agreed to participate. Am I right?
Yes, Sorna.
Okay. However, we literally received submissions from maybe six of those people. And shout out to my baby brother, Charles, who sent in two videos. We had two videos come in from Charles and two videos come in from your friend DJ.
Yeah, DJ. Thank you, DJ.
Right. And by the way, you guys can find their video responses on our page, Talking Shit, that's T-A-L-K-I-N, Shit, with Denin, D-E-N-I-N, and Kyrie, K-I-R-E, on Facebook. And they were really good. Like, we got some good feedback.
Right.
However, when we got into this, when we got prepared, when we were preparing for this, we're like, damn, love is so deep. Like, it literally can make you really vulnerable. It can make you angry. But what it does is it puts you on the spot. And it makes you tell the truth about something that we don't. You don't who?
I don't think love makes you angry.
I'm not going to say that love makes you angry. But talking about it is not the most comfortable thing. Is that better to say?
For some, I think it's like, where are you with yourself as far as love? And I think that's what makes it hard for some people. Because self-love is the hardest love. Self-love is the hardest love. I mean, yeah, it is. And sometimes, and this is me, and because I can only speak on Kyrie's experience. I used to be the one where I was out here looking and searching in every place for someone to do something that I wasn't willing to do for myself. And that's hard. And it's the self-love. It's hard. And then sometimes you don't even know what it is. Because I had a former friend of mine used to always say to me, no, you need to know your worth. You need to know your worth. And I was so far gone in whatever, depression or whatever was I was in, I didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. And he was like, you really need to know your worth. You don't know your worth. You need to know your worth. You don't know your worth. And I'm like, what the hell is know your worth? What the hell is know your worth? So once I finally got a grip on myself and took my ass to therapy, because I had to find out why was I doing the things that I was doing. Why was I attracting the same type of person? Why was I doing what I was doing? So then after I got myself in therapy and started talking to my therapist, then I found out what it was and what I wasn't doing. And that's when I came to know what self-love was and what I needed to do to get me together.
So what you're telling me is your love started with self-love. I mean, but why did you even have a situation where you needed to? Because, you know, the self-love journey is a journey that I love to talk about, too, and it's one that I started just recently, you know, in the last year or two. But I questioned, like, why do we even need to take a self-love journey? Why does that need to happen at a point in your life? Why isn't it instilled from birth? Like, where does it go? Did you not have it to begin with? Why are you on a journey to get a bag of potato chips when you were born with one?
Well, you could have had. I had love. Yeah, I had my mother love. Yeah, but I always felt like my father didn't. And I say felt now because here recently he and I had a deep conversation. And I always felt like he didn't love me. But he did. It's just people show love differently. You can only love from where you are, from your point of understanding. You get what I'm saying?
I guess.
I felt like he didn't. So anyway, so like I said, and I was always looking for love in other places. And I felt like my father didn't, because one thing he kept saying to me when I was younger, no one's ever going to love you. You're always going to be by yourself. No one is ever going to love you. No one, because no one loves a fat ass. So I started looking for love and trying to prove him wrong. Now, I never had a problem finding okay. sex. You know, I can get into dating, listen. I can get dick anywhere, but I could never find the relationship that I wanted. And so I kept trying to cling on to different people, to different guys, and it wouldn't work out. So I was trying to, and the reason why I say I was, loving myself, because some of the dudes that I was picking was like the bottom of the barrel. They would look good, because I never fucked around with nobody ugly, but they wasn't about shit. And
so, but in these relationships, did you think you were in love?
To be totally honest.
Or did you know clearly that this was just sex?
Well, no. To be totally honest, I was trying to make it love. And
okay.
Because I wanted to be in love. So that's why I was trying to make it that. But it wasn't that. Now, I have been in love before, yeah. But.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but in reality, okay, now I'm gonna ask you this question, and then I'm going to be like, you don't know, how many times in your life will you say you have truly been in love? Not in infatuation, not in a forced situation, but in love. And it was back to you the same way you were giving it to them.
No. I'm going to say, it was reciprocated. I would say not at all.
So the reason I ask that is because I think that a lot of people are often quick to say that they're in love with someone or that someone is in love with them, but they are not fully in a relationship. Or, for instance, I'm going to use myself for instance. The last time I was in love with someone was many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
However, and when I was with him, I felt this particular peace and calm that I'd never felt before. And I was more addicted to that feeling of peace and calm than I was to him in particular. He gave me a sense of security that I thought I needed at a particular time, but the relationship was completely a relationship completely built on control. And I was the
so
person
you,
controlling it.
So you liked the feeling, not him.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed the feeling of the relationship. But I would always look at him and be like, I wish I could have this feeling and you not be a part of it. Is that weird? Is that weird?
It's weird and it's funny. But I get it. Now, what pushed me to therapy was because I kept attracting the same type of dude at this particular time of my life. And that type of dude was married dude. I kept married motherfuckers just kept coming to me. And it used to be a time in my life I'd be like, I ain't doing nothing with nobody married. No, never. Bitch, never say never.
These are gay men married to gay men, or these are gay men married to straight women
Well, they were married to women, but I'm not gonna say they were gay because that's not my call. But yeah, they're married to women.
So somebody's wife was at home and her husband was with you.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch.
Yep.
I wish.
Now I'm laughing at you, and I'm not proud of the situation, but I'm laughing at you. But yeah, I done sent a few husbands and quite a few baby daddies. But now, and that's why I had to check myself. So my play sister Jennifer was like, you need to, to her and I was talking, and she was like, you need to get a grip on this, because I was telling her one day, I'm like, I need to get a grip on this, because this particular one dude in particular, I was really digging, and he was digging me. But what happened was, because I wrote a poem about it, it's in my book. One day he just stopped communicating with me, just cut it off, and I was like, what the fuck? So he was like, this ain't supposed to be like this. I ain't supposed to like you. You a dude. I'm like, I was a dude when we were in the bed. But his thing was, he wasn't supposed to catch feelings. We supposed to do what we do, and that's it. That's all. But he called. He ended up catching feelings, and that was that.
This married man caught feelings, is what you're telling me.
Well, he was okay. Yeah. I'm gonna say yes because he was married. He was married, and then he got divorced. But yeah, he was married. Yeah, he was
married.
Divorced. But what happened was
he was sleeping with men.
No, because at this point in time, as we speak, he's married to another woman.
Shut up.
I mean, it is what it is.
But I don't say anything.
But the black community make it hard for people to come out. So I don't know nobody what you do. You do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But the black community, in my opinion, but that's a totally different show. We'll get on that. We'll probably talk about that 3 weeks down the line when we do the religion show. Because a lot of that is rooted in religion.
Yeah, let's not do religion today because I don't want to piss people off today. We can do that in 3 weeks. That's going to be a fiery show there, child. Because I got some tough
but I don't knock anybody. People do what they do.
So getting back to our topic of love, because we just kind of slowly steered away from that. Before we go, let me ask one more question. Like, can you only count on like one hand that you slept with like married men on one hand?
Bitch, you want numbers.
I just need a ratio of who out here slipping into booties and who
And like, how can I know? Like, is it something? Is there a gay radar really that'll tell me if this dude is just faking straight with me and he really bi or he got different levels to his sexuality? It's a straight gray area for him. Like, how can I know?
This we have steered from the road of love.
I know, but can you just answer that for me real quick? Is there a way for me to tell?
Not really.
You ain't gonna answer this question clearly. Okay.
I said not really. I said not really. There's no surefire way to tell though, because you just can't.
Okay, so back to love, because you just gave me a whole Trump ass answer, politician like a motherfucker.
Bitch, what you want me to say?
It's okay. You can protect the gay community. It's fine. It's fine. So, getting back to love. So some of the entries that we got were really good. And one of them in particular, I really kind of pined over for a little while.
Got a sister. What's her name?
Tiara Elise.
Yes. Yeah. She was really honest.
She was not only really honest, but she made me think about, you know, the reality of unconditional love. And I thought to myself, like, oh, you know, is there really a such thing as unconditional love? Like, is there really a thing because unconditional love, or is it that the relationships are conditional?
Explain.
What do you think?
I mean, explain to me about that.
Here's the deal. There have been times in my life, I love my parents. I love them both dearly and deeply. However, there have been times in my life where I did not talk to my dad for years. I haven't talked to my mom for months. So though my love for them is unconditional, oftentimes to me, I believe the relationships are conditional.
Okay.
I believe that, so I question if when you love someone from a distance, if you're making the relationship conditional. Separates the love from the relationship. And if you love somebody unconditionally, do you automatically forgive them when they do things that piss you off, that you firmly, wholeheartedly don't like, don't want to happen? You know, like I sit on the line and I say, so is my love for my parents conditional because I get pissed off with them and I don't want to talk to them for a long time?
I would say no, because, I mean, even though my father now, okay, we just started back talking, as you know, and we hadn't spoke to each other in 5 years. Now, I was pissed off. I mean, I still love my father, but I just couldn't deal with him, and in 5 years, I was over it. But if you love somebody, I would say if you love somebody, then you'll want to, you know, if it's a problem or anything, you'll want to work it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but taking years to work it out, is that really working it out?
Well, I would say for me, yes, because we finally had a conversation. And the conversation was, see, a lot of times parents want to put you as you're this child, and they don't see you as, well, like my father, he didn't see Kyrie the grown man. He saw Kyrie the 12-year-old, whatever. So we finally had an adult conversation, and it really worked out in both of our faces. It really did good. So like I said, if you love somebody, you will want to work it out. Whatever, you want to fix the problem and work it out. And like
Kyrie,
I told him, I came
how
him,
long did it?
And I came to him, and I said, life is too short. And life is too short, you know what I'm saying? My father's not getting any younger. He just turned 78 years old. So he has more days behind him than he has ahead of him, and which, me too, being my age, I got more days behind me than I got in front of me. So tell us that life is too short. You know, let's work this out.
But it took you years to decide that you wanted to do that.
Because
you
literally
missed years on your father's life.
And he missed years of marriage.
So during that time, was the relationship conditional?
Well, I mean, how can a relationship be conditioned? Let me see. Well,
because what you literally did, and what I did was, we removed our love, our presence, any sort of access that our parents would normally have to us. We removed it away in punishment. We absolutely are punishing them when we decide to do this. That is the point. Like, so for me at this point, I'm always like, I have to protect myself. I'm not punishing anybody. I am only trying to protect myself from the same things happening again. But you have to question, are you angry enough to punish your parents by removing yourself from their lives, or are you trying to protect yourself from them? Which one is it?
Well, for me, I was protecting myself. That's what I felt, at least that's, and that's what I put out there, that I was protecting myself because I was tired of the verbal abuse. So I'm like, I'm not doing
it. So you were not angry. So you were not angry. You were afraid is what you're saying.
I wasn't afraid because, okay, like our last conversation
here. Well, how are you protecting yourself then? If you're not afraid, then how are you protecting yourself?
Well, I wasn't afraid because, okay, the conversation that ended it all, he was like, he went clean in on me for no reason or whatever. And he just said a whole bunch of shit like he would normally do. And I said, and so normally my response is to cuss him out, and I'm going to cuss back, and then we cuss each other out. But this time I said, goodbye, Lester. And I never said goodbye to anybody because goodbye is final. But when I'm done with a motherfucker, that's when I say goodbye. And so I said goodbye because I was done. I had enough. And I said it calmly. I wasn't hollering. I wasn't screaming. I just said goodbye in a calmly effect. Because now that's my thing with anybody. I will cut anybody off. I don't give a fuck how long we've known each other, what it is, what the relationship is, whatever. If I feel like you're doing me wrong, I'm cutting you off. And I'm cutting you out. And it's very rarely that I go back. Now, I went back to him because that's my father, and I wanted to work it out. But there are people that I have cut out of my life. And I mean, not cut out. And I have never, and I don't have any plans of going back. I don't give a fuck about them, nothing. That's just how I am.
Ultimately, what you're telling me is that you handle your friendships the same way you handle your loved ones. It doesn't matter who you are, is what you said. So whether it's your mama or a friend or a boyfriend, if you piss me off enough, I will remove myself from your life. And what? Because what you just said is everybody is the same to you. So even your conditional relationships, because I'm sure your friends are not necessarily unconditional love relationships. You'll cut them off just like you cut your dad off. The only reason you went back to your dad is because he's your dad. It's so much contradiction in that I cannot settle with, like, I don't know what your real answer is. So what is conditional love? I mean, what is unconditional love then?
Unconditional love means you love a person without conditions or without terms. I mean, you love them for them, and no matter what, you love them, and you're there for them. And that is how I love. I love anybody like that. But I'm saying if you do me wrong, like a situation, like I said, like I told you, I had a situation that came up, while I was on vacation. And I got a phone call and about something that had been said about me and someone lying on me. Now, this particular person, I've known them for 20-something years. And that's what I'm saying. That's when I say it doesn't matter who you are. If you can do that to me, hell yeah, I'm cutting you out of my life. I cut you off at the root. I don't give a fuck who you are. You off at the root. And this particular person, I know for a fact I've never done anything to them. Now, they may feel that I have done something to them, but when I go, now, this is it. I will go to you. If there's a problem, because like I said, if there's a problem and we cool, I'm going to come to you. But once you tell me I haven't done anything, and then you continue to do me wrong, bitch, fuck you. And if I offended you, I don't give a motherfucker. Fuck it. Fuck it all.
So
yes, we're done.
So those are conditional relationships then?
You say what?
So those relationships are all conditional then, right?
Well, I guess so, because they cut them off with me. So, yeah.
No. We're talking about them to you. We're talking about you. So if you're willing to walk away from someone forever and never speak to them again, you don't have anything to say to them
ever
again, that relationship was conditional.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking. Well, I'm not telling you. I'm asking.
Oh, the way you put it like that, I guess so, yeah. Now, I guess it is conditional, yeah. Because if you feel you have to fuck me over, then yes, okay, then it is conditional. Because if you feel like you have to fuck me over, bitch, I'm cutting you the fuck off and out of my life. I cut a bitch off at the root. I don't give a fuck who it is. That's just how I am.
Because you keep saying, I don't give a fuck who it is, you will cut them off at the root. Do our parents not screw us over?
Is who?
Do parents not, has your parents not screwed you over in your lifetime? If the answer to that is yes, then this tirade you keep going on is so fictitious and ridiculous.
But I say no, because my parents have never screwed me over. Like that.
What?
Your dad lied to you too.
Telling you nobody would ever date you. That was a lie too. So what's the difference?
That's lying to me. I said lying on me.
Baby, bye.
Well, I mean,
I'm confused like a motherfucker. Because I think that what you want to do is you want to say that your relationship with your parents is unconditional, but your relationship with anybody outside of them isn't conditional, though they both did the same thing and you treated them both the same way. I don't think you got the courage to be honest right now.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. And that's why I go back to say, is the love unconditional and the relationship is conditional? Or are you telling me that all of this is what unconditional love looks like? Audience,
well,
call
love.
Call in and give us your opinion of this, because I'm confused like a motherfucker right now. And I'm literally, I'm not trying to beat Kyrie up at all. I literally want somebody to step in and have a conversation about unconditional love versus conditional relationships. Because I cannot tell you that I have an unconditional relationship with anybody in my life.
Not even my dog.
Not even my dog is unconditional.
But you
cut Puddle
off.
I will give Puddle's ass up for adoption if he give me too much shit, and he's 10. He's been around for a long time. But you could still go over to the shelter on 103rd Street, out in Oakland or wherever that is. Bitch, you can go.
Listen.
I'm being honest. Like, I unconditionally love my parents, but the relationship is conditional. Like, if you piss me off, I'm not going to talk to you. That is a condition. The condition of the relationship is, if you upset me enough, I'll remove myself from your presence, from your access. I will not allow you to feel my love up close and personal.
You can only remember that shit from the time we was together in the past.
That's the same thing I said.
But that's conditioned.
You just worded it differently.
But you keep saying that your relationship with your parents is unconditional, so which one is it? Don't try to be like me now, niggas, because I'm admitting my shit. You said your relationship is unconditional. Nigga, don't jump on the dinner train. The dinner train is full. My caboose is big. I ain't got no room back there. Don't jump on my shit. But I'm like, let's be honest.
Okay. I'm being honest.
Come on with it.
I'm being honest. My
relationship right now. Mr. and Mrs. Kyrie, I apologize if I'm pissing y'all off.
They're not even listening.
My daddy listens every week, and he'll be giving us feedback on this. I'm sure he'll have something to say. But he also
He's our consultant.
He is not our consultant. Why would you say that shit live on the air? Because you know he listens to it. Daddy, you are not a consultant. If you are not a consultant, you have been fired from the job you never had. What the fuck?
We talked about this already in private.
What's your mama say?
Whatever.
Well, we stay in private. What happens in this house stays in this house. You don't let everybody know our personal business.
That's black folks' problem now, but okay.
It sure is, child. We ain't telling shit. It is our fault. It is. We got so many fucking secrets. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another show.
But it kept us safe from the white man for a long time.
Whatever. Okay, look here. So I say I love unconditional. But, I mean, okay, you said there is a relationship conditional. I mean, I've never cut my mother off. Now, we've gotten mad at each other and, like, probably not talked for probably, like, a day or two or whatever like that, but I've never just cut her off. Now, she's pissed me off to the point where I've wanted to, but I never did. I never have.
Wussy.
Whatever. So, but anybody else, yes, I got. But people that I have cut, like I said, people that I have cut out of my life, like, they've done some, what I feel is detrimental stuff and said some detrimental things. So, yes, I have cut them, like, I cut them off.
So, I think about this because the truth of the matter is, you know, when I say that there's nobody in my life I don't have a conditional relationship with, I don't know anybody who I would allowed to get away with everything and it'd be okay with me. I haven't had children yet. And from what I know is once you have kids, then this whole idea of unconditional relationship and being loved is something that people just naturally take on. At least some of them do, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know shit about that.
Well, what about your mom?
What about her? I love the dog boo boo out of her.
Have you ever cut her off?
But yes.
For how long?
I'm an evil tyrant bitch. Okay.
For a few months. Oh, I can do it.
Yes. And let me be very honest. When I cut my parents off, I'm not like roller skating, bitch, okay? I'm not like going to get ice cream on roller skates and doing the hopscotch and double dutch, having me a good time in life. No, I'm usually miserable as fuck.
Well, back to the subject of love. Well, we learn to love from our mothers. That's the first place you get love from, because you know you feel everything when you're in the womb, so you feel everything. Everything comes from her, and that's your first. Your mother is like your first everything. That's the first sign of God. That's the first sign of love. It's everything. Your first period.
Well, I wasn't there when I was first born. I mean, I don't remember shit back then. So as far as I know, my daddy could have been the first person to love me. I don't know.
You didn't just say you feel from the womb.
Who said that?
You do.
How do you know that, bitch? Do you remember back to being in the womb? You're not even sure you were in the womb. You could have been born in a test tube. You could be a test tube baby. You don't know shit about the womb.
I could have, but I mean, you know that. That's common knowledge. Because you're connected to your mother, the umbilical cord. You're connected.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
And everything
let's
she
take
feels,
a call.
You feel, the baby feels. Fine, take a call. Come on, who is it?
We're going to find out in a brief moment.
Okay.
Caller, are you on with us?
Hello?
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 Welcome.
Yes, hello?
Who do we have on the line?
Right.
Yes, I am.
Yes, who are we seeing with?
Please
hello?
Identify yourself. Please call and
yes,
please identify yourself.
I am Brother Earl C. Williams Sr.
Oh, our consultant. Come on. Come on, consultant.
He is not a consultant. He is consulting.
He is a consultant of the show.
How y'all going to find me?
You didn't even know you had a job. What are you talking about? You have no job.
Hey,
you didn't even know you had a job.
Listen.
Everybody,
under the terms of unconditional love and unconditional relationships.
Yes.
Unconditional love is loving somebody no matter what they go through or what they think they need to go through. Unconditional relationship is respecting where they at the time that they abandon their parents. When you abandon your parents, when you abandon your parents, that's a place that you need to be. You need to protect your spirit. So when you
exactly.
try to protect your spirit in unconditional relationships, that means that you respect that person and you have an unconditional relationship with them to let them be what they need to be. Because as parents with love, you will be back.
So, Brother Earl C. Williams, a.k.a. my daddy, Dad, so when I decide that I'm not going to talk to you, I'm not going to talk to Mama for however much time I need, isn't that relationship conditional during that time? Now, the way you all act towards the child you birth, I get it. It's unconditional. But, however, the way I respond to whatever has happened between us, whatever incident comes up, isn't that conditional?
It's conditional for you, but it's unconditional for me because I respect the place that you need to be. Every once in a while in life, you need to let people be where they need to be. If you got an unconditional relationship, you can respect that because the love that you have for that person makes you understand that this is where they need to be right now. Only thing that I have to do on my end of the relationship is whenever you are needed, be there.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a parent.
Bye.
Can we have somebody else who don't have kids call in, please?
Thank you for calling in.
Somebody without children. Thank you. I get it. But that's what I'm saying. Because you're a parent, you have a particular unconditional love for your children. Regardless of what they're going through, where you're always going to have their back. Actually, I always make a joke to my friends, and I say, my dad or my mother is going to be pissed off, but they love me. They can't help themselves. They're going to forgive me and get over it. Like, I say that all the time.
But he respects you. And
yes,
he respects where you are.
And I respect them. But if they upset me enough, I'm going to be like, I'm not answering your calls for the next 6 to 9 to 12 months. You
oh
get what
God.
I'm saying? Like, that is
oh
that's
my God.
How
Well, how can you talk about me?
Okay, well, forget that. Forget. Let's not talk about parent love because it's too touchy, right? So let's talk about relationships.
Okay.
What exactly is love? And how do you know when you're in a relationship of love? Outside of your mom and dad, I'm not talking about your grandmama. Like when you meet someone, how do you know that is a pure love between the two of you?
How do you know it? Okay. For me, love is an action word. I strongly believe that. But it's like this feeling, and like you just, it's for me, it's an unexplainable feeling. But it's just, I know it when I feel it. But like I said, love is an action word. And people show you that they love you, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't, you can tell me you love me all day, but it's how you treat me. And that's what I go on. That's what I measure a person's love on, is how you treat me. Because you can say it all day. And words don't mean
nothing. I'm not sure I agree with that. But let's take another caller. And I don't think words mean anything either, but I do believe that.
You don't believe love is an action word?
I don't think it's an action word. I don't. I believe it's a state of being. But let's talk to our caller. Caller, who do we have on the line?
What's the first? What's the area code in the last four digits?
Caller. Who do we have on the line? Okay, we're going to let them get that together. Give us a call back when you're ready. No, I'm not sure that love is a – I'm not sure it's an action word. I think love is a state of being. But I will just as – what was your question?
You don't think it's an action word?
No.
Wow.
No.
Really?
No. Mm-mm.
So it don't matter how a person treats you, as long as they say it.
No, I think that love motivates action, but I don't think that love is an action. I believe that love motivates people to show you how they feel about you, but I don't believe love is something you actually see at work.
I disagree with you.
Okay. Feel free to disagree with me. We disagree all the damn time. But what I believe it's a state of being, because when a child is born, a parent and a child love each other. The child loves its parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it can do nothing to show that love for them. They can't do any – a child can't do anything to prove their love for their parent. They learn how to kiss a parent. They learn how to hug from a parent. All of those things are taught. They're all learned skills. However, the connection between the two people is a state of being. A child cannot do anything to show you their love.
Yes, they can.
You have to teach them how to show you love.
Okay,
they're
but then
born
once you teach
in love. That's a state of being.
Every child ain't born in love.
What they born in then?
So wait. Every woman that got pregnant was born. Because every child that was inside the mother's womb was conceived out of love. Girl, that come on.
Did I say that? God damn it! Don't turn my damn words around. Did I say that they were conceived in love?
You said they was born
out
of love.
Okay.
You said they're born
out of love. I said they're. Oh God.
Jesus. Okay, what did you say?
You love
Jesus.
To turn a word around.
Okay, fine.
You
what
love
you say?
To turn around. First of all,
come on.
At the core
Why
of every
Jesus?
Of every, at the core. Did I say Jesus? I didn't mean to bring
you
in
did.
It. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
You did.
Why do I always call on Jesus?
Because you're loving.
I know he'd be like, bitch, we ain't even friends. You ain't talked to me in forever. You ain't been to see me. You ain't called. You ain't came back. Like, why you keep calling me? Conditional relationship. But anyway.
I lost my train of thought. I'm telling you, marijuana is a horrible drug, and I stopped doing it a long time ago, but I am still regaining those brain cells I lost after all those years of smoking weed. What was I saying?
You did not believe you lose brain cells. You said, you were talking about, I said, you said a child was born into love, but you said you didn't say that, but you did. Okay. I said, what'd you say there?
You know you can rewind the show, and after the show is over, I will rewind it for you and prove I didn't say that. But whatever.
Fine. Well, what did you say then?
When a child is born, there's a natural love from a child to his mother. The only way
not
a child
all.
Can show its love from so kids don't automatically love their parents.
No, I don't believe all do, but that's just me. But go ahead.
So you think some kids are born and is born with hatred for their parents? Like, I'm born in hatred for my parents.
Well, I mean, I said
it was
born.
How did we get back on talking about parents again? We got mom and daddy.
Because you, I ain't got shit. Because you said, like a child and a parent born. You did that. You got issues. You need to make up one
well,
of your parents.
Well, I keep forgetting what we're talking about. Because
we're talking about love.
I got a slight headache.
We're not talking about relationship type love. And you said, how do you know you're in love? And I said, love is actual. You said, you don't agree that love is actual. And I said, you said you think that love motivates people into how to treat you or whatever, something like that. And
right.
I'm like, okay, I kind of agree with that, but I totally disagree with you. Love is an action word. Love is a verb.
Well, tell me exactly, how do you do love?
How do what?
How do you do love? Because if it's an action word, then there should be instructions on how you do it. So how do you do love?
How you do it? How do you the way you treat a person? Come on now, stop it. The way you treat someone is you show them how much you love and appreciate them in the way you treat them. Because like I told, like we were talking the other day, and I said, as much as I cuss people out, like certain people, I would never do that to because I love like my best friend. I would never cuss Eddie out the way I cuss people out because I love Eddie too much. So like I said, before I went on vacation, Eddie pissed me the hell off so bad, but it didn't even cross my mind to cuss him out because I love him too much. People that I love, I treat different. I don't.
Well,
you
cussed me out many times before, so clearly there's a love between us. Congratulations, Eddie. You're a special breed of man. Listen.
Bitch, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. I have never, never cursed you out when I cuss out somebody on the street.
That is very true.
Exactly. So, girl, stop it.
However, I'm still not believing that the way somebody treats me is, I don't believe that love is an action verb. I think that love inspires action.
So if love inspires the act, how does love inspire the act?
If I love you, then I'm going to treat you a particular way. If
that's
I love
I
you,
said.
I'm going to do specific things for you.
So
but I can love you and do nothing for you. I can love you from a wheelchair unable to move my body for the rest of my life. Love is a state of being. I don't have to do shit to love you. And I don't need to necessarily show you I love you. It is a state of being. If I'm unable to, if I become a quadriplegic and I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, how exactly am I going to be able to show somebody I love them? I'm going to not slob when they come around? What in the fuck am I not going to be able to, what in the fuck, what am I going to do?
Well, okay, that's true, but somebody's going to show you that they love you because whoever takes care of you, whoever going to sit there and wipe your ass and pick you up, put your clothes on, wash you up, bathe you, they're showing you that they love you. Because like I said, you don't have
that can be a nurse in a nursing home then. I mean, honestly.
Okay. If you wasn't,
it could.
And she's doing her job. Okay, right, she's doing her job. Anyone outside of a nursing facility, if it's somebody in your family, then they're showing you that because some people don't have that. Some people are in a nursing home and got six kids somewhere but they don't want to do it for their mama. I couldn't imagine. I could not put my mother in a home. I couldn't do that. I would have to do it. I would have to do, you know, either go back to Cincinnati, which is something I would never want to do, or bring her to California or something. I just cannot put her off on somebody and put her in a home.
I would never put my parents in a home.
I don't want to do it.
I would never put my parents in a home either. However, let's just say that your family isn't alive. Your immediate family is not alive. You're the sole survivor. However, you have nieces and nephews who are still alive. Okay, pretend you have brothers and sisters. You have nieces and nephews who are still alive, maybe an aunt or uncle.
Mm-hmm.
If they come and take care of you with your quadriplegic ass, they come and take care of you, right? Bring you flowers every
mm-hmm.
now and then, sit with you for a couple of hours. How are you able to determine that they're doing those things out of duty versus out of love?
Well, I would say it's love because they don't owe me anything. Like you said, I don't have no brothers and sisters. And even if I did, who's to say then, you know what I'm saying, they would do that. So, to me, that's not duty because that's something that they do not have to do. This is my opinion. They don't have to do it, so they're doing it. So, to me, that'll be done out of love. Because, I mean, who wants to, let me go over here and lift Kyrie's big ass up. Who wants to do that? And who the hell going to lift all of this? You know what I'm saying? So, that's love. To me, that's love.
Okay. It could be duty, too, but who knows? So,
duty for what?
I got
what
a question
kind of duty?
From
Alicia. Okay.
And I want to ask it. Can you love someone and disrespect them?
That's a good question. Okay, is it disrespect on a constant basis or is this just something that happens?
Don't get crazy. Just answer the question. Can you love somebody and disrespect them is the question from the audience. I can't change it. It's what they ask.
Okay, fine. I'm going to go with no. And disrespect is something I don't handle well, but I'm going to say no. Because, now this is me. If I disrespect you, it means I have lost respect for you. So you can't love somebody and do that. No, it doesn't go hand. No, they can't go hand in hand. So I'm going to say no.
I think you can love somebody and disrespect them
on a constant basis.
I didn't say that. Why are you always trying to change words around?
I'm not asking.
I think you can love somebody and disrespect them because terms of respect are individual.
Give me an example.
And what,
well, okay, yeah,
what,
yeah, yeah.
I may
do okay.
I may do something to disrespect you, and I might not think it's disrespectful. You might have to say that's disrespectful to me, and this is why.
Bitch,
and
you
I
know
we'd
be a disrespect to stop it.
That's not true. I don't believe that to be true. Your hang-up's not my hang-up. What's disrespectful
okay, that's
to you is not necessarily disrespectful to me. So
okay.
If I disrespect
okay.
you and I apologize and I don't do it again, okay. But can
yes.
I continuously disrespect you? But let me ask you this. Can you love somebody and have sex with somebody else?
Yes, but that's totally different.
Well, isn't that disrespect?
It depends on your relationship. If y'all got that type of
really?
Relationship, you know it's not disrespect.
Yes,
let's really.
Say that you don't have an open relationship. Let's say you've never had the conversation about monogamy is completely unnatural, which I firmly believe it is. Monogamy is unnatural like a motherfucker. Everybody should have variety, according to Denon. But, so for the rest of you normal people, you straight, you gays, who only want to have sex with one person until you die, you've
that's
accepted
based on
that
religion
social construct in your life. Okay. So let's say you haven't had the conversation and you're in a committed relationship, a committed monogamous relationship, and you decide to step outside of the relationship and get you a little ding-dong humdrum on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That's disrespect, first of all. Second of all,
well,
are you in love still with that person?
Well, I would say, you know what, now this is me where I am now. I want to say you can still love them, yes, because maybe, okay, see, this, okay, still we're on relationships. In my opinion, I think you have to be with somebody who's on the same freak level as you, because a lot of times that's why people go outside, because, you know what I'm saying, you can't be a freak. Your freak number cannot be on 3, and your mate's freak number is on 8. It's not going to work. Something's going to give. So that 8, that partner that's on 8 is going to go out and find another 8 or 9 or 10. Feel me?
How disrespectful you are.
That's not disrespectful. Okay, disrespectful is if you know your mate or your man, your woman likes XYZ, then why not conform and do XYZ? What's wrong with being a freak for your mate? What's wrong
with
that?
You know, a lot of people out here got rules on their life that the church has set forth, and there is no giving head, you know, except on holidays, and that's all that's against the Bible. There's no anal. Because
where is that? Where is
that?
Where is that written? Give me scripture.
I can call up somebody who is Christ-like and find, and they will find it for me. I know they will.
Bitch, look here. I have read the Bible through. I have read the Bible through and through. I ain't never seen it in
there.
I used to study the Bible. I ain't never seen nothing in there that say that. Nothing. And I said, we're going
to
talk about that.
Why is it every time you talk to the gays about the Bible, they be like, I have studied the Bible. I know the Bible.
Because 9 out of 10 we who? Bitch, like I said,
yeah.
when we get to a religious show, I'll tell all that. No. I used to read and study the Bible. So you say
okay.
That's why people couldn't hit me when I was a Christian. People couldn't bam me with the word about this and this because I knew it for myself. I knew what it said. But anyway,
okay.
Like I said, your freak number, y'all got to be equally, y'all have to be as you say, equally yoked in the freak department. Well, that's what you said. Equally yoked. You said it the other day. Equally yoked. I'm like, girl, when you start getting with the Jesus crowd. But yeah,
the Christians do not own the word yoke. The gays do not own the rainbow, just FYI. If I have a rainbow umbrella, if I wear a rainbow coat, if I have rainbow drawers on, it does not mean I'm a lesbian. It means that I like colorful things. Y'all don't own the rainbow. That's the first thing. And the second thing is
I don't want to own the rainbow.
The church does not own the word yoke.
Fine. But whatever, but that's who mostly says it. But like I said, you have to be, okay, fine, well, you have to be equally yoked in the freak department.
Okay.
So that way your mate don't go straight. But I do understand this. Now, you can be, sometimes you be a little nervous about wanting to try something with your mate. You be nervous to tell them if you don't know what they're going to say. I mean, if you all have never, for instance, like when I was on vacation, it was something I wanted to try. And so I was kind of reluctant. But then I went to him and I said, hey, I'm going to try this. He was like, for real? So he started smiling. I was like, yeah. So, voila, we did it. I tried it and I loved it. So, yes. But you, like I said, you have to get with somebody who is on the same freak level as you.
So, let's say you fall in love with someone and you haven't had sex with them before you all have gotten serious, before you've fallen in love. And then now you're in love with this person. You've dated for a few months, and, you know, you're pretty sure about each other, and you decide that you're going to make love first time, and it's hard.
Make love. Let's make love. Okay.
I'm trying to keep it clean. So you're going to make love.
Clean?
Or you're going to have sex for the first time. I'm just saying. So what do you do?
Okay.
Because you love this person now. You don't want to hurt them, right? So what, do you try to teach them better techniques to get up to your level? And what if they're just not willing? Do you disconnect this relationship,
step out? Well, if they're not willing, I mean, I don't know what to say because I don't know what to say. See, I'm sexually adventurous. So I don't know about no not willing. Who the fuck ain't willing? Do people understand? Girl, I I'm sexually adventurous. I'm attracting shit. I'm attracted. And that's how you know what's for you and what's not for you.
I have a friend who I think is a freak on level 10. He is in every way. He was in a relationship with someone for a few years. They had a child together. However, the woman he was with did not enjoy sex like he did. She did not want to have variety. There was, according to him, because of course I only have one side of the story, and that's his. According to him, she was not adventurous enough. She only wanted missionary. There was no equal effort. She only wanted particular things done to her. She did not want to do particular things. And he said that was the breakdown of their relationship.
What, was she a Mormon?
She wasn't a Mormon. She just wasn't that interested in sex like he was. Now, they had a whole child together, a baby. So they're a family, not unmarried, but they're a family. And this thing was so important to him. It was so strong to him that they thought it necessary. Well, according to him, he thought it necessary to move on from the relationship, to parent the baby outside of the relationship, because sexually she could not meet what he needed. And he knew that that part of their life would never be okay. They're now living in a separate home, and he's a weekend dad. I don't know if he's a weekend dad. That might be taking it a little far. But point is, the relationship was ruined based on their sex life.
Well, I mean, it happened. That's why okay, then you just proved my point. You have to be on the same level. Okay. Like I said, you have to be on the same level. And if you're going to do some things, you have to be willing to try some things that your mate want to try. Because, like I said, when I was on vacation, he said some things he wanted to try. We tried. Well, we did it. And, yeah. And I liked it. So, I mean, you have to get with somebody who is on the same level as you in every way. You know what I'm saying? People always say, they have to be equal in this and this and this. You have to be equal in everything. You're going to have to be with someone because, it's not going to work. If you're on an 8 and they're on a 3, well, she seems to be on a 1, it sure in the hell ain't going to work.
So with that being said, do you think, let's say that this particular couple I'm talking about now decided to stay together. And slowly he builds a disdain for this woman. Just can you love and hate somebody at the same time?
Because
he told me, he said he never fell out of love with her, but he knew that he would be sacrificing to stay with her.
Well, I think what you can do. What you can do is you can love them and just not like what they do. Well, not like, you know what I'm saying? Not like her non-performance. That's what I was saying. Her lack of performance. But you can still love her, yeah, because you love the person. You're just not liking. What is my opinion? Then should you ask?
I just don't believe that. Like, can you love and hate somebody at the same time?
No, you can't love and hate them, but you can hate what they do or what they don't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can say, I'm sure some man would say, I love my wife, but I hate the fact that she won't give me head. So, yeah, you can. You're not loving what they don't do. And I don't understand that. If you know your man wants some head, why won't you give him some head? This is why a lot of men going out here finding somebody else who'll do it. And then you mad. You sitting at home mad because he out here playing this motherfucker cheating. Well, bitch, you wasn't doing your duty.
Okay, well, let's go back to what you said earlier on showing love. So you don't sacrifice your life to bad sex to show that you love somebody?
Is that not included in
the whole conversation of love? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you sacrificing your need for great sex to be with this person you love? That's a way to show love, right?
Right. Okay. So I'm going to sacrifice my love of sex. I think you're going
to... Oh, I just complicated shit with that one, huh? It
for
ain't
me
so easy,
because,
though.
For me, because... I mean, sex is not the most important part of a relationship, no. But it's a part, but it is a part. I mean, if you don't have... It just ain't going to work. And I think men and women think alike when it comes to that. It's not going to work.
So, just quick story. I dated somebody for almost 4 months before we were intimate. I'd fallen in love with him by the time we had sex. When we finally had sex, he had the smallest penis I ever saw in my whole life.
I knew what story you was going to tell.
I think his penis hard was the size of a large clitoris. But I loved him already, so what was I supposed to do? Now, everybody laughed at me, you know, after
okay,
the fact.
But did he make up for it in other areas?
Child, please. Sex was not a focal point of our relationship, period. Like, I could not focus on sex with him, period. So other things were the focus, and really it's where I strengthened my communication skills. Like, I credit that relationship to having strong communication skills. I'm not lying. Because there was nothing else. There was nothing else but talking for the most part. He might as well have been a girl. Because, and no disrespect, but seriously, like, sex happened so few and far between. Like, we were the bomb-ass communicators. And I love that part of the relationship. But like I said, when I think back, so this is different from the other one, but when I think back to that relationship, I think to myself, that was for you to learn how to love beyond this physical body. Like,
okay.
how to perfect something other than this animalistic nature that we are born with. And that's
so
physical, feeling
okay.
good.
Okay.
But
now,
I'm gonna ask
a question. This is a question from one of our listeners. Why can't the love of family and friends be enough? Why do we need sex to feel loved?
Well, who in the hell are we going to have kids with? Like, you going to have kids with your... What? So my mom and my daddy's love and my family's, my grandma, auntie's, brother's...
Like, why isn't that enough? Why isn't that enough?
Who asked that dumbass question? Does this person have children? Like,
yes.
how are you supposed to create your own family if you only love the people in your family?
Well, no, he's saying, why isn't that enough? Why do we... Why can't family and friends just be enough and not have romantic type of love? Why do we need that? My answer was... I enjoy physical touch. This is me. I enjoy physical touch. I enjoy kissing. I enjoy hugging. I enjoy sex. So,
but your mama kisses and hugs you. So what he's saying is that should be enough.
Yes, he is. He didn't say it should be. He asked, why isn't it? You know, when the question was this. Reason being because everyone says they want love. Well, we all want love because everyone don't think of nowadays you got people trying to be this hardcore person, men and women alike. But he's saying, why isn't it enough? If we say we want love and that's genuine love, why can't that be enough?
I don't know how to answer that. I think the best question to ask me if it's okay to have sex with your cousin. I don't know. I really don't know where he's coming from. I can't.
Listen.
Maybe I'm just not intelligent enough to get it.
Listen. Okay, I'm going to try to break it down. Genuine love. We all want it. We all need it. So why do we need a romantic type of love if we're receiving genuine love from our loved ones? Is that better?
Because it's natural to procreate. It's why you have sexual desire to procreate.
Okay,
you're gay, so you don't get the whole procreation part. I get it. But my point is the reason that you have sexual desire is to produce children, at least from as far as I knew from biology, is to get you in the mood to produce children. So you want to fall in love with someone outside of your family so you can build off of the family you have already and extend, step away from mom, dad, and that family and build another extension to the tree, right? Because you come from this big, huge trunk or branch, and now the goal is for you to create your own branch, to go out on your own, build your own part of this tree. So you get sexual desire for which you focus on someone you're falling in love with outside of your family circle.
But some people, it is enough. Like my mother, gave up on men in the 80s.
Do you think your mother hasn't really had any since the 80s? Your mother has not had any since the 80s.
No, probably not. No, but I'm just saying. That is when she started. That is when she Well, her man did her wrong, and that's when she got serious about the Lord and found Jesus for real, and she's been with him ever since.
You about to make me shit.
Bitch, I'm just saying. So, some people, it is. Some people live a life of celibacy. And the love of their family is enough. Now, and that's what
We got a question from the audience. Here it is.
What's the question?
If you wake up madly in love with your mate, and later on that day you find out that they have been cheating on you for the last 5 years, do you still love that person? If not, what happens to the love?
Right. Of course you're still going to love them because the love ain't going nowhere. If you genuinely love them, the feelings of love ain't going nowhere. You're going to be highly pissed. You're going to be highly pissed, but you're still going to love them, yes, in my opinion.
Are you going to stay?
What kind of relationship is it?
It's a romantic relationion. What kind of relationship do you think it is?
We
love each other and just found out you've been cheating on me for 5 years. We madly in love. What?
So I said it's a monogamous relationship. It was supposed to be a monogamous relationship.
Clearly,
then yes.
It's supposed to be monogamous if you find out I've been cheating.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, well, yeah,
this is why sex should not be a deal breaker. Like, this is why sex should not be a deal breaker for love.
Well,
because
I think
if you
know,
think about how many. What you say?
Okay, sex should not be a deal breaker. However, I think a conversation needs to be had. I used to talk against what Monique was saying, but after I listened to her, I totally get it. You need to have an honest dialogue. If that's what you're going to do, then you need to have honest dialogue. Don't, because if you don't have honest dialogue, that's when you're going to go out here and that's when you're going to cheat and that's when you're going to get pissed off. That's when the trouble's going to come or whatever, because you're living your life. And like we talked about earlier, that's their religious bullshit. So you need to have a conversation if you're going to do that. You need to have honest conversation. Because we all see other people. I don't give a damn what you do. We all have seen people that we want to fuck.
Amen.
So, and I mean, and we grown. You know, everybody grown. Well, should be. We grown. So, and if that's what you want to do, do it.
Okay, so again, you wake up madly in love with your mate, and later on that day you found out they've been cheating for the last 5 years. Do you still love that person? Mm-hmm. Your answer is yes.
Yes.
I think that, I personally think the love doesn't die like that. The love doesn't die, but you're deeply hurt by what you found out. The next question you ask is, do I stay? Do I stay in this relationship? And are they in love with me if they've been cheating on me for 5 years? Because that's my question. Now I'm thinking, have I invested time? Well, I'm gonna ask myself, have I been invested time in a relationship with somebody who has been pretending to love me with the same fervor that I've loved them? And now I'm going to question, see, this is what I'm saying about love is a state of being. I also don't believe that love and sex are necessarily go together. I believe that
they
sex
don't.
is something completely separate from love. Now, I'm going to question in this relationship, have you been cheating on me in just a sexual way, or is there an emotional relationship going on between you and this other person? Like, what is this relationship with this other person?
See, that's what hurts.
So, and right. Has it been one person you've been sleeping with for 5 years consistently, or have you just had a multitude of partners over 5 years? Because I need to understand if this is physical and you just having sex, or if this is emotional.
If this is just one person, for 5 years, it's an emotional tie there. So they're in a relationship. Now,
there's
multiple partners. Okay, if multiple partners, you get in your life, you getting fucked, you found you a bunch of hoes that's doing whatever your mate ain't doing. But if it's just one person, then yes, there's an emotional connection there, and you're in a full-fledged relationship. And for me, then I'm going to say pack your shit and go to that person, because that's where you want to be, obviously. Now, that's
okay. But let's also, you keep saying something that that I think is, we got to not say. And that is that there is, like, your mate isn't doing something, so you're stepping out of the relationship because of that.
I only say that because people who I know who have cheated on their spouses, that is what they say. Well, my mate wasn't doing this. And I'm talking about gay men and straight men. Well, my mate wasn't doing this. My mate wasn't doing that. And that's mostly what I've heard. Now, anything else?
Okay.
I don't know.
So here's the deal. Now, I know that you and I have differed on this for quite some time, like in the past, because I'm very much so like, I don't believe monogamy is natural. I believe that that's something the patriarchal male created and was held up through religion, you know, to control women from giving away that twat
because they jealous as fuck, which is why women cheat better than men do. But that's on my own personal feelings. But with that being said, this is why I don't think that having sex outside of the relationship should be a deal breaker. If we go and look at the rate of divorce and how many divorces are the result of a cheating spouse, somebody needs to beg to question whether or not we should be in these relationships where you're only bumping uglies with one person. And we need to be a stronger society of people to say, guess what? This here is bullshit. This is not a deal breaker. Unless, I just don't think it should be a deal breaker. I cannot settle
well,
on.
Well, it depends. Like you said, if you've been with one person for 5 years fucking, then okay. If you've been 1 year with this person, 5 years with one person, then you're there. You're not even with me. You're just here physically. You're there. So go. Be with them. But if you have continuous partners, then you're getting your life. You're being a hoe and you're getting your life. I can't hit on that.
Now, why do we even have to put a hoe on it? Like, see, that was
one of the okay, fine. You're getting your life. There. Wait a minute. I wasn't just saying that about women. I'm saying, period. It's some men out here that are some hoes. But I'm just saying, I've been a hoe.
Like, who created that word, you a hoe? Like, where does that shit come from? What makes you a hoe? Who determines that shit? And what's the count? What's the body count for being a hoe? What is the body count? Because if a lot of women out here committing themselves to relationships they don't even want to be in because they don't want to get their body count number up. Bitch, if you call me a hoe, you got to call me one behind my back. Otherwise, I'm going to come for your whole life.
Well, I didn't call nobody a hoe. Bitch, I got a high body count, but I'm just saying.
I don't have a high body count.
Don't do it.
Because I'm a hoe.
Don't do it. Okay.
Conversation. I enjoyed it. Like, I had a good time with this. We really need to have another conversation, though, about
we will do a part two because we really didn't get to love like we wanted to, but we will have a part two of it. So, and that being said, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in, Daddy. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. Right, you're our consultant, Mr. Williams. Thank you. And if you want to get in touch with... Shut up. If you want to get in touch with Denny and I, you can get in touch with us at Talking Shit, TalkinShit with WITHDENINANDKIRE at Facebook and also at Instagram. And we're on Twitter at Denon and Kyrie. And you can email us any questions, suggestions that you have at DenonandKyrie@gmail.com. And I want to wish you all a
week. We thank all the people who also sent us in messages.
Yes.
And talk
thank
to
you
us
all for the
text.
Videos. Yes.
Thank you for
thank
yes.
you all.
Go
and
to
I just want to say I love
look
y'all.
Look at the videos, and we can continue the conversation there tonight.
Yes, we can continue this conversation. Yes. And good night, everyone. Love you all.